It's officially Oscar season in Los Angeles. Nominees are on their best behavior. People who did not get nominated are throwing subtle shade at those who did, and we're throwing shade on the whole lot. So, welcome to a fresh edition of the Femme Fatale podcast. I am your host, Leslie Gornstein. In the small chair today, we have Andy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Who has much to say about this year's movies and who might just get the chance to share one or two of those thoughts. Later on, she's also going to be talking about the show that she is hate-watching this season. It also happens to be a show that we are hate-watching this season. It's something we're definitely going to talk about. Is it the show that you're hate-watching this season? We'll just have to wait and find out. More important, of course, are your questions, those queries you send in every day about how Hollywood really works. When you can get actual insider dish on why Fruitvale Station got snubbed for the Oscars, could it be that too many people were acting while black? Yes, probably.
Really?
Well, they already had one other movie that where all the actors
That's
were acting
true.
While black.
Yeah.
And I'll explain more about this later, but the Oscar people have tunnel vision, right?
Mm.
So there can only be one amazing, socially responsible, guilt-inducing black movie per year.
Right.
And we've got it already. So no Fruitvale Station, no Butler, right?
Wow.
We'll talk more about that later. Or do you want to know why Leo DiCaprio has never won an Oscar? Those shall be on the front burner. Of course, later in the show, we will have Answer Dad in our brand new segment in which he reviews Downton Abbey.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any yet. Should I? They're on the DVR.
Let's just put it this way. Shit goes down. Lines are crossed.
Oh, so good stuff. Because last season was like... Pfft.
It's very there. I mean, there's no way... This is not a subtle plot.
I like that.
So it's pretty much the biggest thing that can happen outside of a murder happens.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
All right.
It's the opposite of boring, whether you like it.
So watch. You're telling me to watch.
It depends on whether you like the show. If you have been waiting for giant things to happen, then yes, this is your season.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, and also later in the show, secrets of the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes seating charts.
Ooh.
But first, our VIP interview. Now, nearly no one in the universe knows as much about TV and movies as my next guest. With the Oscar nominations officially out, my listeners have a ton of questions about who got nominated and why. So I found for you Ron Simon, a curator at the Paley Center for Media.
Ooh.
Yeah, those same people who put out the Paley TV Fest everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I put all of your questions past him earlier this week. Ron Simon of the Paley Center, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Leslie.
My listeners have many, many questions about the Oscar noms this year. And here we go. Matthew Keeley has two questions. The first, he wrote via Facebook, do you think The Butler got totally snubbed because the Academy only wanted one big African-American history film this season and opted for 12 Years a Slave?
Matthew, I think you have a good point. Certainly The Butler is a real interesting film, and it had so many possibilities when it was released in the summer. But, you know, 12 Years a Slave became almost a tidal wave, and it got all the attention. And certainly many of the questions of race were all tied to 12 Years. And I think The Butler was one of those films that were forgotten. It had so many nice performances, very well directed. So I think, Hollywood plays on waves and trends, and perhaps The Butler was forgotten, and it should not have been.
Do you think it was forgotten because it dared to display while black?
There's always a film or two that is forgotten for whatever reason. The Butler, unfortunately, was one of those films. You know, sometimes the focus goes to one film, and when the Academy members vote and they're thinking about race, they go to 12 Years, and they forget several really good films, both Lee Daniels' The Butler and also Fruitvale Station as well.
I'm going to ask you about that again in a minute.
Okay.
Here's another question from Matthew. Kind of shocked at Oprah Winfrey and particularly Emma Thompson not getting nominations. Have any stars ever freaked out and kicked up a fuss at losing out on nominations or even wins?
I've been told behind the scenes, yes, stars freak out quite a bit. I mean, this means so much to them, to their career, to their earning potential. So this is not just an award. It's, it's a potential to really make the next step up.
And to whom do the stars freak out? Do they freak out on their publicists? Do they freak out on the studios for not promoting them correctly?
Well, I think they freak out quite a bit. I think the big surprise this year was Robert Redford. Obviously, he did not get a Best Acting nomination. And he sort of then questioned how his production company, Lionsgate, distributed the film. And he did that publicly, and certainly you don't expect that of Redford. So if Redford does it, I'm sure that everyone does it. And really questions how the campaign went. For stars, the Oscars is politics. It's getting the votes. And you have to get the votes in many different ways. And certainly you have to have the studio behind you. You have to have fellow actors behind you. And I'm sure that stars begin to question the whole process when they don't get a nomination and they think they should have gotten one.
You know, Lee Daniels came out and said, I just don't care. Don't care about the nominations. It's okay. I don't care. Do people lie when they say that?
I think that everyone cares. I certainly know several fields very well, and it has a great meaning.
Debbie P. asks via Facebook, any conspiracy theory buzzing around as to why Mr. Tom Hanks got snubbed, although he had two notable performances this year? Seems surprising he didn't receive any nominations.
Well, certainly Tom Hanks did two really good performances in Captain Phillips and Saving Mr. Banks. Perhaps he was competing against himself. If he only had one, that would have made it much easier.
Really?
It could be, yes. I mean, he might have split the vote and that, you know, hurt his chances. Or there were some younger actors that were given a chance. Certainly Leonardo DiCaprio rose. Not many people thought that a fantastic performance, but recognizing a younger actor. So that might have been one of the reasons that Hanks did not get it, when you have two instead of just one.
Do past Oscar wins affect whether you're going to get future nominations? He already has one, right, for Philadelphia?
Right, but it's hard to argue when Meryl Streep gets nomination after nomination. Many people have argued that her performance in August Osage County, not among her strongest, but she did get a nomination. So, you know, some actors will be nominated over and over again.
Yeah, why?
And so much of getting the vote, getting the nominations, is really developing a relationship with your community. And that is so important, like elections. You have to really know who you're working with and how everything, how your constituency is going. I sort of know this from a personal experience. My brother won an Oscar for a documentary short, and he had been nominated before. But when he won, it was very much a campaign and working and talking to various people to continue the buzz. You know, it's a whole series of screenings that the documentary vote was a little different a few years ago, and the rules have changed. But it's really just getting out there, talking to people, working with your publicist, and having as many people conscious of your film, and especially if you've been nominated before. Certainly, to win the first time is very difficult, but you know, the Academy likes to re-nominate people, and eventually, you know, perhaps you'll win it.
Let's talk about Leo DiCaprio. Lena O. asks via Facebook, hi, people always say that Leo DiCaprio will never win an Oscar because the Academy hates him. Is this true? Why? Whom did he offend?
Well, first of all, Leonardo DiCaprio has been nominated four times. And generally for his smaller films, if you go back into history, he was nominated in his debut film, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, a great sort of first performance. Then he got nominated for Blood Diamond and also for The Aviator. Not his big films, not the Titanic, but there is certainly a respect for Leonardo DiCaprio. And I think the big surprise this year was having him nominated for Wolf of Wall Street. There's been divided opinion about the film, but no one would argue that he dominates the screen for 3 hours, and he brings his level of performance to a great height. So, you know, I don't see the Academy not liking Leonardo. Perhaps there's always questionable, the matinee idol type maybe doesn't get as many votes as he or she should. You know, you think of someone like Robert Redford, who only received one nomination in his career. And sometimes it's good for the pretty boy or girl to almost make themselves ugly and despicable to get an award. And we've seen that in the past, too. So certainly Leonardo, you know, with four nominations, is certainly respected. And I don't think you can say he's never going to win an Academy Award. Because I think that certainly the industry has great respect for both him as an actor and also his ability to bring crowds into the theater.
Fruitvale Station received no Oscar nods. Given the chatter in the fall, it seemed to be at least a Best Actor contender.
No doubt, when Fruitvale Station opened in July, it had all the buzz. It did extremely well. It won awards at Sundance. It won at the Cannes Film Festival. It seemed like to be the independent social film. And, you know, and certainly deserved, there were all sorts of possibilities for, you know, writing, for directing, for Octavia Spencer, too. But it just didn't play out that way. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Lee Daniels as the butler, and perhaps the whole notion of race got tied up with the controversy, the discussion about 12 Years a Slave. And unfortunately, Fruitvale Station sort of got lost. You know, there's always an independent social issue film that does well. I think Dallas Buyers Club sort of fit that slot, unfortunately. Certainly Fruitvale, real interesting film, was the independent film of the year, you know, starting out at Sundance, but it just, for whatever reason, did not get those nominations it deserved.
So only one indie social justice privileged person guilt film per season.
You know, I don't think we can have a rule of that, but, you know, the voters seem to focus on that. And this year, there were more of the traditional Hollywood films that got those nominations, certainly Gravity, 12 Years, American Hustle. And then the two independents, Her and Nebraska, too. And unfortunately, Fruitvale, in a lot of critics' top 10, just didn't make it. We don't know what the voting is, and it's a very arcane way of getting Best Picture. But, I mean, Fruitvale was one that should be considered. I always thought that the Academy should have sort of a first-time filmmaking award. They have the New Artists and the Grammys, and that's one of the big awards. And certainly Ryan Coogler should be recognized for, you know, Fruitvale Station. It was a tremendous film. And, you know, that's one of the snubs that you just wish that film got more love from the Academy.
Ron Simon, thank you so much for joining the Femme Fatale podcast. Happy Oscar season.
Okay, happy Oscar season to you. And if there are other questions, you know, let's talk.
We're back. Andy, before we get to the show that you're hate watching,
yes,
give me the next reader question.
This is from Ricardo R. via Facebook. Who and what determines the seating at award shows?
All right. This stuff is fascinating.
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, my God. Okay. In general, we're looking at two main factors. The power of the person going to the show, clout, and that person's desirability among TV viewers. Remember, this is not just a ceremony.
Yeah.
It's a telecast.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to want to see like a really wrinkled Bruce Dern? Or are you going to want to see sexy Lupita?
Mm.
You're going to want to see Lupita. You're going to want to see Lupita like every single scene. Okay. So here's some basics you need to know about the Oscars. You know, they only have about 3,300 attendees.
Okay.
So it is definitely political who sits where.
Mm.
Producers. But the Best Picture nominees are generally seated in the orchestra section.
But no one wants to see them.
But that's the orchestra section. That isn't necessarily where the cameras go.
Okay.
That's just up front. That doesn't necessarily mean where the cameras go. There's something at that theater known as the Golden Triangle, which is this magical sort of triangular section of the theater where all the cameras face and the lighting is the best.
Okay.
Those are for the most desirable looking people and the ones who are considered to be most likely to win an award. So, for example, a couple years ago when Natalie Portman did that crazy campy movie about
the dancing.
Sex and dancing.
Yeah. The masturbating.
She was considered to be not a shoo-in, obviously, but pretty likely to win, which she did. She was in the Golden Triangle.
Okay.
So Golden Triangle is really...
Wouldn't she be in the Golden Triangle even if she wasn't nominated for something?
If she wasn't nominated for something, she would be there at all. 3,300 seats total, let's remember. It's hard enough to get the nominees in now. Because there are now 10 nominees for Best Picture.
Right,
so you've got to handle all those producers, the talent for the whole cast. If you're not nominated, you may still go. You may still get a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if Liz Taylor were alive, she'd probably has like a perpetual invitation if she were still alive. But not if you're just another star.
Okay.
You know? So, because of demand, producers may get pushed up toward the back of the room. Right. Okay. Everybody can, depending on how many producers there are. Now, as far as how the seats are given out, it normally works like this. All 5,800 Academy members are entitled to enter a lottery each year to get a seat. Okay. Mm-hmm. If they win, they get the privilege of buying a ticket for like $1,200 to $1,500.
Shut up.
Yeah. They get, that's their, yeah. 400 of those 5,800 win seats.
Wow.
The rest are allotted to studios. Okay. Studios who put out the most films every year, the big names, the Disneys, the Sonys, they all get the biggest allotment, whereas the Weinsteins and the smaller companies get a smaller allotment. Then come the back channel requests. Harvey says, I'm going to blow up your face if you don't give me five more tickets. You know, everybody starts trying to push and use their clout, right?
Everyone wants to go to this, right? People aren't like, I want to stay home and watch in my sweatpants.
Unless you're Woody Allen, you want to go.
Right.
Woody Allen is the exception, okay? I already talked about the magic triangle, right? That's where every camera's line of sight is converging and the light's really wonderful, right? Great angles. Now, there's another whole section that's really interesting, too. It's a section for stars who have been nominated multiple times, but they have not yet won. And they are grouped in an area, I'm not making this up, that is known as an open secret as the mocked ones. Those are the people who continually get nominated and they keep losing. Like for a while, the cinematographer behind True Grit, he's the kind of, his name is Roger Deakins. Like he's the kind of guy, he kept getting nominated. Like this was a few years ago. It was thought that he would be in the mocked ones section. Every once in a while, the mocked ones section is the place to be. If there's somebody there who's considered like a dark horse to win, sometimes it can be good to sit in that section.
That's funny.
There's also the don't give a shit section. This is a section where a lot of Hollywood veterans will sit, like really old decrepit stars who like are known in the business of not giving a shit if they win or not. So I think that they're like, they're not as
like who?
Like usually there's just like some old veteran every year.
Like John Voight?
Like Jeff Bridges, you know, who has that natural don't give a shit face. Right. And what they'll do is they'll put him in a certain section that is not necessarily the Golden Triangle, but is handy for cameras because they're always going to have sort of a don't give a shit smirk on their face. And
that
you want to
like
get that
fun
every
section.
Once in a while. Exactly. And so you do want to have your cameras on them on occasion. So that's its own little section. Now, as far as specifics, who sits next to whom? There was a man named Otto Spieri. I believe that's how you pronounced his last name. It could have been Spoeri.
Okay.
He devised protocols that were still used far after his death. He was from 1980 to 2002.
Is he a scientist?
No. He's a scientist. My secret formula for not getting Jennifer Aniston near Angelina Jolie. Here is the formula. No. From 1980 to 2002, he was the controller of the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. So that was the job. In other words, he was responsible for orchestrating the seating arrangements. He was the one that set up these rules. Never place nominees together because you don't like, if I'm sitting next to you and you win, the camera's going to see both of us.
Right.
And I'm going to be all pissed while you're standing up winning.
Right.
And that's not going to, you don't want to see that. Like you want to see a bunch of people surrounding you who are going to be like, yay, Andy, love you, Ericus. So no, that's why you'll see tables now or seating arrangements now where bunches of cast members sit together or dates will sit together, but not two nominees sitting together. As he once said, you don't want to see a sad face next to a happy face. Although I think that would be endlessly entertaining myself. And you also want to put nominees as close to the aisle as possible so they can dash up to the stage to collect their award. Now, sometimes Das Formula has failed. One year, volatile actress Sean Young was seated next to close to James Woods after James Woods had just dumped her. And people around them said that the atmosphere was frigid. So he died 3 years ago.
That is one crazy couple.
Just one. He died 3 years ago, by the way. And now the seating is organized.
Oh, the guy. Not
the guy. Okay. And now this woman named Kimberly Rausch, who is the Academy's director of membership, is considered to be the doyenne of the seating chart. Right.
All right.
Other seating charts, I think, are actually more interesting. The Golden Globes Now, usually the way that it works is that all the nominees are up front. I don't know if you noticed this year, but apparently there was a lot of complaining that it took the nominees, the winners, a long time to get to the stage if they had won. And apparently Kate Arthur, who is an entertainment reporter, she contributes to several publications, from what I understand, looked into this and she tweeted about it. And what she found out was a lot of managers and publicists and agents insisted on sitting with their clients. So all these suits insisted on also being in the front of the room. Well, there are only so many seats at the front of the room.
Right.
So if for every client there are three suits, a bunch of nominees are going to be forced to the back. Huh. And that was a theory as to what happened with that show.
So the suits have the power over nominated actors?
I think it depends on who the suit is.
Like Brad Pitt's suit or something has more power than...
Brad Gray and a couple other suits that are really... They're always... They could not have a ticket and just like walk in and just like whip out their dick and throw it on the ground. And it they'll be like, oh my God, that's Brad Gray's dick. We are definitely putting you in a seat. You know, they will kick somebody. They'll like kick Kate Winslet out and put him in there. I mean, there are people who... Definitely. I think that if Harvey Weinstein would like to walk into that room, somebody tiny would get booted. Some like baby starlet or something.
All right.
So I think that's, I personally.
That's interesting.
I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of interesting, we are about to get to the show that everyone is hate watching this season. But before we get to that, my father has a few things to say about the latest episode of Downton Abbey. Answer, Dad. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You want to talk about Downton Abbey?
Oh, yes. I think Anna's trying to keep it together, but I don't know if she's going to be able to. It really has me a little upset, to tell you the truth, because she's one of my favorite characters.
If somebody did that to me, I probably wouldn't tell you.
Really? Are you serious?
Why? Because there would be no police. There would just be you on an airplane and a loaded baseball bat, and then you'd die in jail.
Well, I don't know if I'd die in jail.
You're like 71 years old. You'd die in jail.
Well, I'd claim insanity, temporary insanity.
Oh, so you'd die in an insane asylum.
Yeah, well, no. I think they'd put me somewhere else. You know, they'd send me home to your mom.
So you would want her to tell Bates so that Bates can murder the guy and go back to jail?
Well, what I would do is I would get Lord Grantham downstairs in one of the rooms. I'd have him lock the door with Bates and Anna in there. And then I would lay it on Bates, tell him what happened, and have Lord Grantham trying to sort it all out and keep Bates from doing anything rash.
So you would keep Bates behind a locked door until the rapist was dead?
I think Grantham could probably handle it.
How would Grantham handle it? Like a gentlemanly shooting with like a pearl-handled gun?
No. I think he would convince Bates to do the right thing and go to the police.
I understand that you recently went to a Downton Abbey party.
Yes, we did. And it was actually back in Philadelphia.
And what food is served at a Downton Abbey party?
Bangers. We had Welsh rarebit. We had two bottles of Downton Abbey wine that you can buy. We had Yorkshire pudding. We had tea. We had that sort of thing. Everything that was kind of, you know, the kind of thing they might serve back during the Downton Abbey times.
So for those of you listening who are thinking about having your own Downton Abbey party, what's the one food that you think absolutely makes a Downton Abbey party?
Tea and scones. That's about it, I think.
Okay, Andy, you've been waiting really patiently to get this off your chest, I can tell.
Well.
There's a show you are very sweet about defending a show.
Right. In which I did go on the air earlier in the season and defended the show. Which I have now turned my back against.
And the show that you have turned your back against is?
American Horror Story, Kevin.
And the reason for it is?
It is goddamn boring.
Why?
Make something happen on the show. I'm sick of the story of what's the next Supreme. That's boring. It's just, I don't know. Nothing's happening.
People keep getting killed and resurrected, and that's not good enough for you?
No.
Everybody on the show has now been killed and resurrected at least once.
True.
And that's not good enough for you?
No.
What do you want to see instead? Somebody has been beheaded and a talking head.
But now she has her body back.
But the point is, the talking head didn't interest you. Death and resurrection doesn't interest you. A girl who can kill people with her pussy does not interest you. Okay.
No, she's really boring. And she's a talented actor, but they just let her go this season. It's like a really terrible character.
To me, the reason I'm hate watching the show this season is because I just don't think they know how to take their characters and make interesting plots out of them.
They've got great characters, right? The elder ladies of the show are amazing.
They're terrific. And then you have a whole episode with Stevie Nicks. And what happens is she's like downstairs playing the piano.
Twirling.
While one of the witches is upstairs being drowned in the bathtub. She's down there all, and you see your gypsy. And like nobody hears.
And still,
this girl with
Down
syndrome is upstairs in the bath being drowned to death. And she's all, Rhiannon. That's what you bring in. That's what you bring her in for. To twirl, give you a scarf, and play Rhiannon. Anyway, I'm sorry I cut you off. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I didn't have anything more to say about it. I just said it's like...
What do you want to see?
Action, maybe, that leads to something.
There was a mass
happening.
Shooting 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, and nothing came out of it. Not that
why,
kind of action.
Because everybody came back to life? Is that why? Do you want to see people...
No, I don't care about that storyline at all. The witch hunter and the man... Give me a break. I don't want to see that.
Okay, so you want action, but you don't want mass shootings.
Yeah.
You don't want killings.
I want action that
you don't
leads
want beheadings.
To interesting plot twists.
Plot twists.
Yeah.
So resurrection doesn't count.
Because they've done it over and over again.
All right.
So I don't know what I want. I don't know. I want the season to be done with.
You want it to be more like Scandal?
Yes. I just started watching it. I'm completely hooked. Completely.
And you think that people aren't speaking about that show as much as they should?
Yes.
Interesting. See, I hear about Scandal all the time. I don't know where you are.
Do you hear about it on the internet or from like people tweeting about it? Both?
I don't
Facebook
follow
friends?
The kinds of people who would tweet about Scandal.
Mm.
They're not my people.
Who do you follow?
Well, first of all, I can't really follow anybody because the more people I follow, my clout score goes down. It's all very scientific.
Oh, come on.
No.
I follow. What does clout do for you?
Nothing. So far, it's gotten me nothing.
So why do you follow people? It's holding you back.
All right, fine. I'll follow you. There's... It's not like my clout score is doing anything. That's fine.
There's information out there to be had.
About what besides Scandal?
I don't funny.
Pinterests?
No. I don't have time for Pinterest.
Instagram accounts?
No, I don't have time for that either. I'm on it, but I don't care. I like the Twitter. The Twitter's my main jam these days.
Not that you ever, retweet anything I say or even acknowledge
You barely are on there.
Do I need to be on Twitter more?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I don't believe that what I say is all that interesting. Too many people find themselves too interesting. My strength is knowing how uninteresting I am.
But you're funny and you have interesting things to say. So many people don't and they still say it. And therefore, you should definitely say what you have to say.
You think I should live tweet the Oscars?
Yes.
All right, then that's what I'll do.
Duh.
We have reached the end of another episode of my show. Andy, how do they reach me?
I don't know. They can find you at...
You're so lovely.
TheFameFatale.com.
Yes.
Or tweet you at FameFataleSays. Or find you on Facebook.
Nice save. And where can they find you?
Soy Nugget on Twitter.
What is your biggest pet peeve, kids, about American Horror Story? Is it that Stevie Nicks is downstairs playing the piano while people are being drowned?
I don't think people realize the show has gotten bad yet. It just took me until the last episode. I was like, okay, I'm done.
If you at home have realized that the show is bad, when was the moment that you realized that show was bad? Why have you given up on it? Tweet me at FameFataleSays, and we will see you next week.